World leaders are gathering in Glasgow for the start of the International Climate Summit known as COP26. And with me via Skype for our weekly look at that and some of the other big global stories in the coming days is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, COP26 is a two-week conference. What are you looking out for specifically this week?
Yeah, well, these things come in three stages, really, Mark. There's the big official opening, lots of pomp and ceremony, world leaders, big speeches, big ambition. And then it all goes quiet. Many of the world leaders will even depart the venue. And that's because that's when the real people get to work, get down to business, lots of meetings behind closed doors, thrashing things out. And then that works through. And then there's the big ending, the big announcements, etc. So today and tomorrow is the World Leaders Summit, when we can expect people like President Biden, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, President Emmanuel Macron to speak and explain what they're looking for the world to achieve. One major absence, President Xi Jinping of China. He was going to be making a video address, and now it's a written statement he's going to be providing, which, you know, as the world's biggest greenhouse gas emitter, that kind of sets a slightly negative tone for how negotiations are going to proceed. But then after these couple of days, that's when people will be going to their meeting rooms and representatives from each country discuss what they want and also what they're prepared to do. Now, one of the key things I'm watching out for this week is how African leaders put their case forward. You know, as you know, many developing countries suffer from the effects of climate change. They're really looking for wealthier Western nations to support them in making changes to their infrastructure and also mitigating against the effects of climate change. And that is significant for Africa. Just look at some of the events from the last few years which have been attributed to or made worse by climate change. You know, Cyclone Idai in 2019, that hit four countries. It caused over $2 billion worth of damage, over 1,000 people killed, drought in Madagascar this year, widespread famine in the country, extreme flooding in Nigeria in 2020. Climate change is a big deal for Africa. Now, developed countries have this goal that was actually set back in 2009 of raising $100 billion a year in climate finance with a target of 2020. The goalposts have now been moved, and that's not going to happen until more likely 2023. But leaders from Africa wanting an affirmation and a recommitment to that from Western nations. Various leaders are going to be there. Felix Tshisekedi, the current chair of the African Union and the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo, he says he wants wealthy countries to fund an Africa adaptation program. That's an additional $12.5 billion he's looking for over 5 years on climate proofing and modernizing key economic sectors so they're more environmentally friendly. South Africa's environment minister wants $27 billion just for South Africa to help it transition away from coal. Now, that is a huge number, but South Africa is the world's 12th largest greenhouse gas emitter and the world's fourth most carbon-intensive economy. So getting South Africa away from coal is a big move and an important one for the whole world. So African nations and what they want to achieve at COP26 this week, very much high on our agenda.
Interesting. All right, Rich, you're also watching for several key developments on the COVID front this week. What are you looking for there?
Well, some positive news for a change. As of today, Australia's reopened its borders to quarantine-free travel. They've been closed for 19 months. But now, if you arrive in New South Wales, the most populous state, and you're vaccinated, you don't have to quarantine. Thailand has done the same thing as of today. Vaccinated travellers from low-risk countries, which includes the US, can now travel around the country without having to quarantine. Japan is easing restrictions on numbers at sporting and music events. Numbers crept up and up during the Olympics, and there was a state of emergency implemented around Tokyo. Numbers have now been dropping. These number caps can be lifted, so that's good news there. In your neck of the woods, Argentina is reopening to tourists, and Israel was one of the first countries to roll out a vaccination campaign. Because of that, it's been one of the first countries to roll out a booster shot campaign. That's kept numbers on the decline. So Israel is opening up to vaccinated tourists as of this week. Meanwhile, not such good news. Russia, cases are going up and up. Moscow is in lockdown. St. Petersburg, as of this week, is introducing QR codes for entry into sporting events and cultural events. That means if you're not vaccinated, you don't get a QR code. That you're going to need that to get into gyms, theatres, museums. Now, Russia was one of the first countries with a vaccine, but only a third of people vaccinated. So you want that QR code, you have to get your shot.
All right. And Rich, finally, let's try something a little bit different. We normally spend time here talking about important things coming up in the week ahead, but something significant is not happening this week. What is that?
Yes, Mark, there is not going to be an election in Haiti this week, even though there was supposed to be. It was due on Sunday, but the Prime Minister, Ariel Henry, has dismissed the council that organises elections and no new date has been set. Now, we really need to talk about this because Haiti is in turmoil. The president, Jovenel Moïse, was assassinated back in July. Lots of factions argued they should rightfully inherit his power. Ariel Henry was the one who won out despite various objections, and he's actually been considered a suspect in the assassination but denies any involvement. A month after that, a devastating earthquake hit the country, and the international community says it's nigh on impossible to get aid into the country because of the prevalence of gang violence and kidnappings. One health group told the BBC three of its workers had been kidnapped in just the last few weeks. And the thing is, these organizations often pay the ransom that is demanded of them. So this is a money spinner for the kidnapping gangs. It is a lucrative business model. And now there's a new crisis. These criminal gangs are not just holding people hostage, they're holding the economy hostage. The largest gang in the country has blocked access to Haiti's main fuel terminal, and that's particularly hit hospitals and the health service. They were already struggling because of the pandemic and because of an unreliable electricity supply. Because of that earthquake, now they can't even get fuel to power their generators. The United Nations says women and children are at particular risk. So big problems in Haiti, political, criminal, economic. The Prime Minister won't step down, but doesn't quite have a strong enough grip on power. These criminal gangs acting pretty much with impunity, and the foreign community, the international aid organizations, really struggling to help. And now this election, due for Sunday, now isn't going to happen, Mark. So worth keeping your eye on what's happening in Haiti and how the international community helps or lack of help.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. That is the BBC's Rich Preston in London. Rich, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.